under the guidance Tom Brohammer. Class chose certain races to take seriously, certain merely to analyze for the purpose of not taking seriously, the ones they took seriously, the one 3 for 3. And even the ones that didn't take seriously came out pretty well. There was one that was not taken seriously. It was getting toward the end of the day before you could make a decision. So I walked up with a red pencil and said, let's get the hell out of here, and went bum, bum, bum. Well, what happened was, that one won, that one placed, and that one's still running, but the counter-energy seat came in third. Marla Sinka's body is held out for Barbara's policy, and without her having held out for that, nobody would have ever collected an exactly. So, everybody had an opinion on that race, but the opinions were so diversified that nobody could, nobody wanted to bet because there were multiple distances from different tracks and what have you. But at any rate, if you count that race, it was a pretty much of a clean sweep for the day, except for the first race in which the winner came off of a 3-year layoff or 2 years or something. Everybody this fast is so sharp, they do something I always fail to do. They look at the date of the last race. I can't, my eyes are getting so bad, I can't see the date of the last race. It was a pretty good day, but today's another day. So we have to repeat. Now, the secret of success was we found out that the people in this classroom were just a heck of a lot better than they thought they were. Tom was just as good as he always is, but under his direction, they did it. And you can do it virtually any day of the week. What happens on a day when you don't do it? You get all upset, worry, and go back and get a new method, or call Mike Warren or something? No. Tom and myself and Dick and everybody in the world has had a day when we didn't win. But to us, that's kind of a relief, because we know that the next time we go to the track, we're going to have a wonderful day. Now, we could go today. I won 8 for 8 at Hollywood Park in Laughlin. I know that probably the next time I go to Hollywood Park, I'll lose the first 3 races, because 8 for 8 is a heck of a streak for me. So it's not going to bother me. So if you win or lose a race, it doesn't matter. Winning the overall percentages, and that's what class did yesterday, that's what I'm sure you're going to do today. And this is Tom's day, not ours, so for as long as it takes, he is now your leader, and he can say anything he wants. He can even talk about trainers, post positions, and jockeys. Absolutely no protest. Tom, stay going.
We did talk a little bit about trainers yesterday, only to the extent that in the first race we threw out Road of Luck because that particular trainer, that stable, they just never win with that particular rider. That was an aside. That was about the only time we really spent with trainers. We mentioned a couple of the other trainers during the day. That was the extent of that. One thing I'm going to point out, we're going to summarize yesterday a little bit, because I know most of you handicapped yesterday, and you may have some questions about some of those races. That maybe you won them and you don't have any questions, but I know a lot of you do, so we'll kind of summarize what we did yesterday. Then we'll set up a target energy number to work from today. I'm going to talk a little bit about an existing bias at the racetrack. And then we'll launch into the first race. Today's card isn't all that attractive, but we're working through anyway. A couple of the races look playable. Yesterday we found 3 races that were really solid races. We found a couple of them. Quite a solid, we seem to have done all right. Let me summarize yesterday, first of all. How many of you that were not here yesterday did handicap yesterday? Okay. In the classroom yesterday, we wound up throwing out Ann Justice in the first race. And the reason we threw out Ann Justice is that we established the probable pace of the race and decided that Ann Justice, in its last 2 races, actually the only 2 races that ever hung tough in its life, was able to go 45-1, and that if he was pushed to go beyond 45-1 in that particular race yesterday, he's certainly not going to be around. And we established that Easter holiday, flying lessons, and even possibly Road of Luck, I don't know whether he ever got up close, he didn't. we're pushing beyond his capabilities. Several people asked about flying lessons, because it was a good, that particular trainer, everybody that's been watching the races knows that Bill Spark has had a big year. And we decided that rather than put flying lessons in the computer, because if you did, you were winding up using a $32,000 race for a $10,000 horse a day. And if you like flying lessons, you just hold him aside, making one of your players. Don't put him in the computer because he'll just, I mean, going in, you know he's going to be 1-1-1-1 across the board. So why bother to do that? Just distorts all your numbers. If you like him, hold him aside, use him as one of your two horses. We passed that race in terms of a serious wager, but suggested that the horse called Forcefully might be a nice long shot possibility of price. And as it turns out, he ran second, beat the half length at 8-1, $80,000-something place. We eliminated Ann Justice, and we also did not like the horse that came up on top for us, and that was Hasty Holiday. Mainly, again, because of the pace of the race, and because of in fact, I'll get to that now. There is an extreme bias against the inside horses at Hollywood Park, in the sprints and the one-turn miles. And it has existed since day one. Which means that if you have a horse win from the inside and run outside next time, you upgrade the horse. Any horse that does win from the inside is just doing a superior job. AC Holiday was drawn inside. Combination of the pace of that race and the draw on Hasty Holiday makes not like that horse also. So, Jim?
What is your definition of inside? Post one or a couple of those posts?
Yeah, first few posts. First one, post one, course, post two. You got a 12-horse field. The first three or four post positions have done very poorly all year long.
Okay.
And that's in the sprints and the one-turn miles. Now, what I suggest to you, is we proved it yesterday, and the flying lessons comes out of the 10-post win. Most of the races were won away from the rail, with one exception, and that was one of the races that we did like, and that was Lucky Macedado, who came out of the two, but he had already won out of the one, so it wasn't a major problem. But if you go back over your charts of the entire Hollywood Park meeting to day one, and just start looking and seeing how the inside posts have done in those races, and you will be astounded they've done so poorly. Very poorly. And so it's a matter of upgrading a horse that ran on the rail and is now drawn outside. The second race yesterday, any questions on anybody that did that race might have a question on the race? The second race, we absolutely passed that one, even for a long shot play. We agreed as a group that Lost Curiosity was the horse to beat, because he looked like he should be the pace of the race. But the big drawback there, and for anybody that bet him, here's a three-year-old that was dropping out of a $40,000 race down to a $20,000 race. And when they start pulling the rug out from under horses like that, you really don't like them. You know, when they step horses up, those are the kinds of horses you know are going to improve, because the trainer's telling you, I like the horse, that's why I'm stepping him up. When they drop the horses down, especially at that age, you don't like them. As it turns out, he ran a good race. He ran second, and we thought he'd probably be about 7-5 or 8-5. He wound up 5-2, so he was a little bit light for betting also. But that was a fast race for us. The third race, we made three serious contenders. We were Proof Splendid, Silver Circus, and White Mischief. And as a group, the way we're going to play it today also is we're going to leave the betting cut out to you. The group, in its entirety, went for Proof Something as one of the two horses, because he fit the exact energy number. About two-thirds of the group went with White Mischief as their second horse, and the other third went with Bruce, or Silver Circus as the other horse. They finished one half length apart, the three of them. So the group had that one right on the nose. Pardon?
I used to correct you.
It was, as it turns out, yeah. Mainly because White Mischief was not part of the exam. In the fifth race, we made four contenders and added a fifth one because the group wanted to add Abby B. Runner just as an extra here. But when we were finished with the race, there were only two horses that could be played in that race. And the two horses that could be played in that race were Major Current and Jetro. The only two. Because if you understand numbers of ones, and I don't believe we have one of those today, but if you understand numbers of ones, you understand the race well enough to bet horses that have only had a couple of tries in the numbers of one and have run well, or you grab the maidens that have been impressive as a maiden and are stepping into that race, which is carded for them. And so when we were finished, we had three horses with very solid numbers. We had Torres Vedras in the race, who really did fall apart when we looked at the cars for Golden Gate. Because the race it had come out of up there just matched the $10,000 claiming car. So Torres Vedras, who had a good-looking running line, it looked like a fast line, we threw the horse out. Because it had matched the $10,000 par, and it's in the numbers of one here. That left us three horses yesterday. That left us Major Current, Jet Pro, and Under and Over. and we recommended that everybody pass under and over. Here's a horse that had been favored three or four times at the level, had lost eight times in an owner's, and one that was drawn inside. And when it was all over, as a group, we won the race. But part of the class had chosen still, probably eight or ten of them, had still chosen to use under and over as one of the two horses. Now, I don't remember how that particular group chose, whether they chose Major Current or Jetro as their second horse. But we had some people lose that because they still held out for under and over because they had a good number of those. And the flaw there is that that horse doesn't fit that race any longer. You're just going to have to wait it out. Eventually at Del Mar, Pomona, someplace like that, the horse is probably going to win a race. But don't let it be with your money unless it's in a field of horses that can't fit the Mountaineers of One category. The sixth race, horse getting Lasix for the first time, won by six or so. We did not play that race. We talked about it for a moment. The seventh race, we made three contenders and they ran 1, 2, 3. Lucky Masudado, Pewter, Golden Gauntlet. The class, as a group, we decided that the pace in that race is about 45. As it turns out, it was 45. And that the two horses that could do 45 were Pewter and Lucky Masudado. The class, I personally preferred Pewter on top of the race. The class as a whole went for Pewter as one of the two horses. Most of the class then went with Golden Gauntlet as the second horse. About five or six people went with Lucky Masudado as the second horse. But we all keep Pewter in the race, and so we catch things. The race ran, Lucky Masudado ran really well down on the inside. It's really a tough horse. And there's a case of a horse stepping up, coming out of climbing races into that now one is a two. And when they step them up like that, they're extra dangerous because it's a statement on the part of the trainer again. The eighth race, we just said that Jeannie Jones is the horse to beat. And if you like somebody, play it. But don't spend a lot of time on that kind of race. So it turns out, Tom says that the energy program that Howard's been developing had the Andrew Bradshaw and the rest of them, had that race, had the top three finishers in the race. Pretty solidly. But it's like the ninth race yesterday. It's kind of one where you're mixing six furlongs, you're mixing turf, you're mixing dirt, you're mixing other racetracks. That kind of a race, I mean, if you like somebody in it, play it. Just don't spend. I wouldn't make it a prime bet. And we can do anything over here. The ninth race, we made five contenders. We hit the first three slots. Said that if we were to play two horses in a race, they'd probably be Santo Angelo and Pointe de Trois. We got a winner in the last on that one. And that Marvin's Policy and Prime Carcourt were two possibilities in the exact process. So we catch that one. So it was a good day. Any questions about yesterday for someone that might have handicapped? And yes.
Well, I automatically threw out even looking at the third race because there's like four horses that had never run on the grass before and they didn't have extremely strong grass breeding. But I was kind of curious as to one, how you got over that obstacle and then got into the race.
Okay, the way we got over that obstacle is we did the same thing. One of the horses had no form, as I recall. Oh, keep me in stitches. Keep me in stitches was one of them.
Yeah, that was okay. Tiny Master Mobile.
Right. Keep me in stitches had run in a one-turn mile in his previous race.
Yes.
Against what were really slow fractions for that distance, and had backed up badly. We wanted no part of that horse in a turf race. El Lobo was being asked to go two turns and onto the turf course for the first time. That's pretty much how we got around Frank Comfort in the last race as being our winner. We didn't need him. It's just asking too much. The other possibility in there was Recitation Spin. He was the other one that had never been on the turf course. All right. We used him as a contender, but when we were finished, we just made him number four of the four contenders. And that left us the three turf horses, of which two were dropping out of stakes races, one was coming up out of Mount Winters and Wall. And we just dealt with them the way they came up. And in the ninth race, same thing, Prime Concord. They're just asking an awful lot of that horse. And rather than bet, so you got to get, it's a game of probabilities. You know, I mean, in this case, what are the probabilities of Prime Concord surviving both those tests? Probably 28. Well, I'd rather be on the 80% side than the classic.
I went back and looked it up. Never got that.
Who's that?
Right.
So we chose not to to tempt fate and let that horse win. That's just asking too much. Jim?
The same sort of situation was with Divine Boy the day before. They tried to stretch him out on the turf, and he ran, what, eighth or something?
Yeah, he ran. Yep. Frank Comfort ran well. But we also agreed that if you leave him alone long enough, he could be really tough. prime contractor, because that was one of the statements we made in class, is if you leave them alone long enough out there, they can get the job done, because if you don't come after them,
sure,
they're going to be fresh horse coming down the stretch. And he was left alone a long time, and still rent the game, and rent the, what says it, but he still may not be able to handle that kind of a race, because he cannot apply with pressure early and he pulled early.
When you've got a horse like a Divine Boy that has, you know, runs with a pretty high percent early in his sprints, you know, I start scratching my, why do they put him in races like that?
This is the test. Like, Craig Lewis had just claimed prime concourse, won an Islanders and won. Well, he had tried Islanders and won about seven times before they finally got him to win one. I mean, it's just a test. Well, let's see what he can do. And that's what, pretty much what we agreed with prime concourse. He was just taking a shot. And yeah, you have a question.
And the ninth had a little problem with San Angelo. I went to the Martin's policy and point walk because of the early energy. It looked a little too far back from my model.
Okay, except he's running on a different turf course.
Yeah.
All right, he's coming from Golden Gate Field. The way you can zero in, I mean, I pointed it out yesterday, but the way you can zero in on Santo Angelo is, first of all, he's being shipped down south. Okay, that's a positive statement on the part of the trainer, who I don't happen to like that trainer, but I was, that had nothing to do with that race.
Yeah.
It was a very positive. And if you look at his second race back, so you spend some time with your company lines. And the second race back, he got beat ahead up there. The horse that was third in that race is Fairly Affirmed. And Fairly Affirmed is a minor stakes runner up north. And he would have beaten that field yesterday. And the minute you look at that and recognize who that horse might have been, that makes Santo Angelo a very strong possibility in that race yesterday. Any other questions? And the reason I'm spending a little time on this, today's card is not going to take nearly as long as yesterday's card.
Yeah. I had another one on the seventh race. I had a problem with my printouts because I had Lucky Mercado as a contender with Cooter. And when I analyzed the fractions, the numbers in the fractions were really high, but it appeared that the synergism had adjusted and really low to the point where I thought at worst he would be second at the second call, but the printouts would be fifth or five contenders.
Yeah, well, something's really wrong there. I'll tell you what you do.
And I use the last race.
Okay.
You know,
the process we're going to use today will get you away from that. But what we do today is the first thing we do after we decide the part for the race, a couple other points, the running styles of the horses, we're then going to establish what ought to be the pace of the race. And if you look at that race yesterday, you'll see that Lucky Macedado should have gotten to the half at about 45. That's his comfortable level. When they crack 45, he cracks. When they go 44.2, 44.3, he cracks. Well, yesterday's pace, he and Pewter both figured to get there at 45, right? Now, the minute you do that, you look at that and say, I made 45 for him and 45 for Pewter. Therefore, if he comes up number five early on the printout, there's something big done wrong in that computer. I mean, it's being overly adjusted by synergism or something like that, because he should go 45. I mean, you can look at the racing form and know that. Okay. And as far as what the computer did, I'll apologize for the computer. It should not have done that. I mean, it's an over-adjustment, because he should have gone 45 in that race, and that's what they went, was 45. That's what we said on the board would be the pace. Okay. And then he hangs, he gets to go 45. He's tough. He really is tough. The other point was that, since you brought the computer printout up, when we finished with the first race yesterday and put it up on the board, it showed Ann Justice as the number one sustained horse in the race. And that's laughable. Ann Justice is strictly early. I mean, he's going to go for it. He and Hasty Holiday went to the corner head to head.
It showed him number two early.
It showed him number three early.
Was it three?
It showed him number three early, which is ridiculous. And so when you get something like that, you know the horse, you can look at the chart, for God's sake. Don't trust the computer printout for you. It shows him being a 3-1 or a 3-2. He's never passed a horse in his life. There's no reason to think all of a sudden he's going to come on. He's going to definitely go for the lead. And he and Hasty Holiday went head to head, and then they cracked Dan Justice first. But nevertheless, he was the one that threw out. But don't believe the computer printout all the time. Look at it, you know, use your heads. Look at it. If it shows the worst finisher in a race is the number one sustained. Take a look at it. Take a look at his last fraction. You know, just make sure that you're not going overboard on here.
Somebody else like him, he got claimed.
I don't know where they're going to run him. I mean, he's got a lot of speed. He really does, but that's ridiculous. And the other knock we had against him is that he had won by $4,000 and $10,000, and guess where he reappeared at $10,000. So we kind of concluded that the trainer would have been delighted to lose him yesterday. And apparently he was celebrating last night.
Another $100 to give him a picture of his knees.
There you go. Yeah, Ed Justice was 232 on the readout there.
I remembered it was not the number one early part. And you looked at it, here's a compulsive runner, an absolute compulsive. And there's nothing but one.
Somebody asked me earlier also how we managed to eliminate Hasty Holiday. We recognized he had some good numbers, but he was drawn inside. And how we eliminated Hasty Holiday, and the way we eliminated Hasty Holiday was that except for two Caliente races, he was strictly an early horse. Strictly early. Well, with Ed Justice in there, the possibility of Flying Lessons pushing that, Hasty Holiday pushing on the pace, here's a horse that maybe isn't going to wind up early, or if he is, he's going to be pushed too hard. And that's how we got around Hasty Holiday as a possible plan. And Hasty Holiday was a 1-1-1-1 on the board in the classroom. Don't believe it for a minute.
I didn't see the charts on yesterday's races, but how did the winner break yesterday? Flying.
He pressed the pace.
Did he press the pace?
He pressed the pace. I was just looking at it. He pressed the pace. And that was another conclusion we weren't quite able to make, whether or not Flying Lessons would press. And as it turns out, he pressed very nicely. Somebody said he looked like they hosed him with a fire extinguisher before he came on the track yesterday. It was in mess.
White. Sweat was just coming off, and he looked like he was really in sad shape.
Well, we finally decided, though, that the healthiest horse probably and the most logical long shot bet in the race, if we had somebody run over and bet it across the board, when it happened, was Forcefully. Yeah. Forcefully got beat half length on a nice ride. That was probably the most logical play. Okay. Let's go to the first race. I'm going to give you the scratches, then we're going to set up some cars. Some energy numbers to shoot at. I want you to keep in mind what I mentioned about that post position bias, because normally I don't spend a lot of time with post position bias, but at Hollywood Park, if you're blind to it, you're really taking a beating the whole meeting long. That's one of the reasons some of these models jump around. That's why the energy numbers jump around. It's just it's a serious disadvantage to be down on the inside. Normally I want to make a big issue of that. But at Hollywood Park, like I said, if you're not aware of it, you're really operating with one hand behind the back. First race. There are some scratches.
Where are you? Oh, okay.
The 13 and the 14 hour race. How many of you are keeping a model? Okay. What is, I'm not going to ask you for the parameters, we'll set those after you give me the number, but what is the, if you were to set a single energy number for a sprint at Hollywood Park, what would you set? What does your model show? 5280? Is that good? Okay, because yesterday's class we developed 5290, so it's off close, right?
We're fine by 83.
Alright, 5280 then is the central number on the energy bar, and we'll range above that to about 5230 or 5240, roughly that area, and we'll drop down to about 5240. So we want parameters of around 5230, 5240, all the way up to about 5330, 5340, somewhere in that ballpark. Okay. That's what we want for the sprint. What about the one-turn miles? Do we have any, first of all? We'll do it anyway, but we may not have one. We don't have one, but what about the one-turn mile? Maybe. What's the energy number for one-turn mile?
Isn't it about 5180 something?
That's pretty close. He said 5180-something. 52 is what we said yesterday. That's been pretty consistent ever since they opened that particular racetrack. So in a one-turn mile, even though we don't have one today, 52 has been the central number, and you can range about 40 above or below, or 50 above or below, somewhere below. That's the energy number. What about the two-turn races? The mile and the 16th, mile and the 8th. What's your energy number on that? Pardon? 52 and a half. What's the energy number? Anybody else got one?
52.
All right. I'm going to tell you something about the two-turn races. Forget your energy number. That is the single, as much as I play with the energy bars, as much as I count on them, the two-turn races at Hollywood Park, they are worthless to you. And I'll tell you why. The range has been about 5110 to about 5350. I mean, that is incredible. I mean, it is little or no value to know the energy part of that, because you're averaging 53 and 51 and you wind up at 52. That's ridiculous. That has not been reliable. Yes.
I'm looking at that right now. I did a few races. I think I've got about 20, 50 to 28.
That's your average?
That's the average, but it, like you said, from 51 to 53, yeah.
Friday afternoon, we had three two-turn races. One was run at 51.20, one was run in 52-something, the other was run at 53.76. Okay, how do you make a par out of that? I mean, you don't. That is not the key to winning the two-turn races. And I'll tell you why. Because the key to winning those two-turn races is to be positioned at the first or second call, especially at the second call. You've got to be within a length or two of the second call to win those races. To be there at the second call, depending on the pace of the race, you either have to gun that, or if the pace is slow, you can just come and hold on. But you have to be there at within about two lengths. So if the pace is fast, you're sending the horse extra fast, and you wind up with a very high energy number. If the pace is slow, like Friday's third race, the Diamond Today by the score race, nobody in that race is really capable of cracking about 112 and 3, 112 and 4, something like that, even the closers. So now the energy number is way down at 51 because they're all running well within themselves. But they were all there, the three or four horses that were capable of winning a race were all within a length or two of each other at the second call. And that's what, and everybody out there seems to recognize that. So they're doing what they have to do to be there at that second call, which will make your energy number bounce up and down. Don't key on energy in a two-turn race. Key on the speed that they can get to the second call. If the second call looks like it's going to be 112 for the race and you have a horse that's getting there at 112 and 4 on his best day, that's an elimination. You've got to be there at the second call.
Okay.
Yes?
Yesterday in the one race, it was 51.6, and that was a maiden and a feature of 53.3.
There you go. The range yesterday was 51.6 to 53.3. And the best race of the day was the 53.2. And that normally is a lower energy number range, but you just have to get there. The turf course. We established 51 as the central energy number, down to about 50.3 or so, up to about 51.5, something like that. Now, the horse that won the third race yesterday, I think, was right on the energy number. And the other two, one was a little on the low side, the other was a little on the high side. But the Bruce Funded was the one that the whole class went for. It's one of the two horses.
What was your range on that turf?
51, and range it up about 50 or 60 and down about 50 or 60 below that. Can't get too cute with that, because I mean, if you're sitting about 10 or 5 or 10 points away there, that's meaningless. But that's, if you're way off of it, then that's the kind of horse you get rid of.
50-88.
It's close. That 51 is what I said. Yeah, so you're close enough. All right. That's what we're setting up. The sprints, routes, everything, you want to be at the second call, you want to be within a length or two of the leader. I mean, that's just very few. The bias is for pressers in the sprints. The pressers, number one. The early pace horse is number two, and closers, you're taking the worst end of the game if you're playing the closers in the sprint. The pressers are number one, early pace horse is number two, and they're both bettable, and then the closers is the least of all. I mean, if you have five dedicated front runners that can't handle a pace, then you look for a closer. That's kind of what we did with Forcible yesterday, although his energy number was not that of a pure closer, so he was capable of being somewhere close. In the, I already mentioned the two-turn routes. In the one-turn miles, what has been, from anybody, what has been the optimal running style in a one-turn mile? Early? That has been the least optimal. If you've been betting early pages in a one-turn mile, you're probably taking a beating. Oh, okay. But that has been poison. Anybody else?
It's been running sustained.
Well, yeah, it is, but it's running. If you were to classify a pure runner, we have early, presser, and sustained. But if you were to classify in intermediate zones, it would be a sustained presser.
Okay.
But what you want is you want a presser, but you want it to be a sustained presser or sustained horse. You do not want the early pace types, and you don't want the early presser if you were to put another category out there. Although they're capable of winning. But the early pace horses you're taking, just like you're taking the worst end of the stick in the sprints by going with the closers, in the one-turn mile you're taking the worst end of the stick by going with the early pace horses. And this has been the whole meeting now. With all of that in mind, let's go to the first race. Let me take 1 minute and I'm going to fill my coffee cup.
What did you say? say the other routes work the same?
You gotta be within a link, it's with the second call, but it's not the same.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
And even with horses like Vital Score, who you normally consider a closer or a sustained horse, the race she won the other day, she was aggressive. Just because that's really the kind of, that's what you're looking for when you analyze that picture. The first race, 7 furlongs, $16,000. First thing we did yesterday, and it served us in good stead the whole day. How many of you have the Hollywood par charts that I've sent out often enough? Alright, now you're gonna see the reason for having these now. We wound up with about, I think we've got some extras, so when we get to that point, they're off that par chart, what is the $16,000 par at Hollywood Park for this race? Okay, the par is 123 what?
Four.
All right, anybody else? $16,000. All right, I got to change that on you then. The newer sheet, something with the newer sheet, it's 123 and 2. All right. The 6.5 furlong par at that level, because some of these horses may come from that kind of a race, and we'll want to check that, is 117 and 1. And the 6 furlong par is 110 and 4. Yeah. What's the date on this? Alright, yeah. The reason some of these are a little off, I think I warned you in the newsletter, that because of the use of the old finish line, I had no data to go on. And so now it's all been revised as of 6:80.
Can we get a copy of that?
Yeah, you can, but you get them from Jay, okay? Jay's got a bunch of copies she ran yesterday.
I said on that podium, did you not give them?
Well, I didn't put them anywhere. Oh, they're underneath now.
Here, I can take them.
Okay. Oh, this one's dated 4882. Let me see yours. Oh, okay, I'll tell you why in a minute. What?
I got one from yesterday. It was 1234.
All right. Here's another one. Let me tell you why there's two of them. The one I updated. This is the one I updated. It was the one I did for Racing News Network that... group that really never got off the ground. And those parts I had to do because I was doing a different variant. This is the one, this is dated 488, but you'll see on this, and I'm sorry about that, but it's if you operate all the time from the other number, if you're gonna work with me today, you gotta use this part. Here it comes. There's some numbers in here. The pace of the race on this particular par chart is done in tenths. So just remember that when you're looking at the par. And that there's a number in here called par, and it says 100, 101, 102, 103. Ignore that. That has nothing to do with what we do here. Yes. This one says what, 488? It's a problem with doing it too early.
Share one and pass one.
Yeah, there's enough, and if there isn't, we have a copy.
Oh, okay. I was just sort of passing out one.
No.
Two
there's
people.
A copy. Get everybody one.
Okay. Okay. Anyone who doesn't have one.
He doesn't.
Yesterday's first race took us over 2 hours, so I wouldn't be concerned about the time because it was just getting the ground rules and the discussion and the rest of the demo.
Are all of these in tenths of seconds?
Just the front wheels. The spread and route practice.
I need to.
I'll have to
make
some more.
I don't think you can get a good copy of that.
Oh,
Tom, you say you were sending these out.
That's a better one. Stop. Hang on. There's no place for me to set that.
So you got a job. You might as well fulfill some function.
You might as well do some of it. Right, here's the chart. What was the question?
Did you say you were sending these out along with your variances to us?
No. Oh. I'll get them today.
Oh,
I will at any time. All you ever need is a self-addressed stamped envelope to me. and you can have whatever part you ask for if I have it. Okay, but I don't just automatically send them out everywhere.
Oh, I thought the way you talked to us, it sent these out like this.
Oh, that's a different one. This is different, and you can see that it's different for a couple of reasons. First of all, some of the parts have been updated. Even though it says 488, I just didn't change that 488. That's actually 688. And that you'll see I made a change of actions on the $10,000 raise. And I just changed that because that's realistic now. I've got enough of the database to be able to make that change. Ignore, like I said, also ignore the PAR number, the 111, 109, 108, 107. Has nothing to do with what we do here. Absolutely.
Okay. All
right, we'll go ahead and work while we're waiting for this. Let's start with the consensus horse, which is peaceful image. I'm going to ask you, you're going to participate in all of this, but I get to be the boss just like yesterday. And when we finally have enough discussion, I'll kill it and we'll go on with what I want, all right? Once you choose your plays and everything, I will tell you how I lean in that particular race also. But we'll develop it, make our plays, and all the rest of it in the group. Peaceful image. At $16,000 and 7 furlongs, is peaceful image a contender in this race?
Yes.
How many no's? All right, there are two notes. Why is it enough?
Well, he's not going to be close enough that the second call is 44 and 3, he's always a length by a 5 length back. And he hasn't signed his run 44 and 4, even though he's a cheap horse. He's still going to bust out and run in front.
Okay, let's just stay with peaceful image for a moment. Okay, what happens before you throw this horse out? What happens if you wind up with 5 horses that all want to go head to head? Does that move up peaceful image or not? At 7 front runners. If you have 5 horses that are dedicated front runners, well, we're just starting with peaceful image right now. Clearly, he could win at 16. He could win at 16. When we decide to bet this race, everything you just said is perfectly in order. Okay? But until we decide, that is a separation thing. As far as the possibility of this race, if the pace breaks down, peaceful image is correct. I agree with the 40 some hands that said he's a contender in the race. He's not a bet for me. He wouldn't be a bet for me here. Not unless absolutely I was sure that the pace would completely break down today.
You want a race like this on the 11th, right?
Well, you could say that's absolutely true. If they go 21-4, 44-4, and then they come home in 124-3, what do you think happened to the pace of that race?
It broke down.
It absolutely broke down, sure. And it could happen here, too. And the probability says that it takes, those races go all, very seldom do they completely break down like that. But if he gets the right spot, he can win it, and that's a good point, Ken. Doesn't that say that he could win a $16,000 race at this level, at this distance? Yeah. Okay. Peaceful image is a contender in the race. Now, he, for me, since he's a consensus horse, he'd be a horrible favorite. But we'll talk about that more. Let's move up to Trusty Dennis. Is Trusty Dennis a contender in here? That's true what you just said, but what happens now if he can clear this field by 3 or 4 lengths before we finish with our analysis?
Wires the field.
Okay, they're awful hard to run down when there's 3 or 4 lengths clear coming on. Okay. Is Trusty Dennis a contender in this field?
Yes.
Okay. We've actually, I've jumped ahead. Actually, normally we set up running styles, but we'll do that second in this race. I'm still punching from yesterday. What about Lucky Bear in here?
No.
Well, there's not enough voice in that no. I mean, is it Lucky Bear a contender? Just take a look at it for a minute. Tell me if he's a contender.
No.
Anybody think he is a contender? Is it a plus that he just was claimed in his last race? Maybe that'll move him up?
No.
Okay, that is a crock, but I'm just... I get to play devil's advocate all day, too.
The only possible thing he may have going for him, and that's part of the fact that he got a full workout after last race. But that's not such a hot workout.
Well, and it's over at Santa Anita when they work better over there anyway. And the bullet at Santa Anita is not very significant because the work cap's small. Let's get rid of Lucky Bear. Let's move up to King Clyde. I mean, this is a better spread, isn't it?
No.
How'd you like to be betting this horse every time you're around?
70-1. He's an overlay. That's what Mitchell said.
Well, there you go. You know, we're going to talk about that too as we go through the day.
I've played with some of those guys quite often,
and they're right to an extent. But when you start betting horses that can't win just because they're a big price, that is, to me, that's ludicrous. King Clyde is not a contender by any stretch of the imagination. Now, I got to tell you, anytime you're in doubt, anytime it's a thin line here as to whether the horse is a contender or not, look at the odds that the horse is normally held in these races. And that'll help push you over the edge. What is King Clyde at 20? At 12.5, he's 48-1. That puts a lot of faith in him at 16, doesn't it?
Solid.
Okay. Another point when you're trying to establish contenders and you're kind of on the fence, look where they normally are positioned at the stretch call. If they're in a position to win the race at the stretch call, they'll be a contender at this kind of a level. If they're never in a position to win at the stretch call, it's ridiculous to even think about. And if one of these horses beats you, guess what? It's not a tragedy. Don't start lining up on the 5% probability side as opposed to the 95%. Angle Arc, is this a contender?
Yes.
I hope so. You're doing something wrong if it's not. What about Passer?
No.
Well, it's got one of the leading riders, Eric Ryder, on it. Ryder the rider.
No.
Are there any yeses to this horse?
Yeah.
Raise a hand. All right, Tom. Two of them. All right.
This point, anyway.
Okay. He's a contender then?
What, this
for you, Tom?
Yeah, I'd like to look at him a little further. I would just indiscriminately just toss him out.
Okay.
He's got the closing running style that may fit this race when we get done with all the early speed horses, if there are a lot of them. So I'm not just going to indiscriminately throw the horse out.
I like these strips, though.
Big part?
I like where he's at on the strip.
Okay, remembering those horses are mud. Let's take a look at these 6.5 furlong races on March 17th at this level. At 12-1. Okay, now that's a sprint. Basically, it's 6.5 furlongs as opposed to 7. It's a sprint.
Okay.
Does that give you a lot of faith in this horse at 7 furlong?
No.
Okay. Look at all the rest of his races now. How many times has he competed at 16?
Quite a few.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Once at 12.5. A couple of times at 20. I got to tell you, this is not the kind of horse you want to line up at the window with.
No.
Okay. Add to it that he's been off since April 15th.
All right.
Tax day. I wonder if they were a little short money that day. Okay. And now look at his record. This horse is from Mexico, I believe. Two of his lifetime wins in his 39 races, I believe, also are in Mexico. The one day he did win, I can give it a little insight on that, was in the mud. Is this the kind of horse you want to line up to bet?
No, it's not.
And if this kind of guy, add one more thing to that, he's drawn down on the inside. Okay, add all of that up. If you're lining up, now this horse, anything can win these races. I mean, I want to establish this a number of times. Anything can win a lot of these races. As it turns out, yesterday we only had one race come out, one race won by somebody that we didn't really like a lot, but it was a race we also passed completely. The rest of those races, we all wound up with the right contenders on the board all day long. This is the kind of horse we eliminated yesterday. And as you do enough of the races, if you do it right enough times and you're consistent in your approach, the few times that you don't cash on Passer aren't going to hurt you. Anybody have a problem with that now? Okay. What about Urbana Cowboy?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
less responsible.
Closer. Now, I got to tell you one thing about Urbana Cowboy. The post position's not quite as serious on this horse. The reason it's not quite as serious on this horse is guess where he's going to be 20 feet out of the
gate? In the gate.
A horse called Mygora managed to win out of the two posts at Miley the other day, but she circled the field because she fell behind and went around everybody. And so that one, you say, well, the two posts finally won a race, but the horse had nothing to do with the inside.
This guy will be middle of the track.
This guy, 30 or 40 feet out of the gate, this horse could be on the outside fence because he'd just been behind everybody. So the post position is not quite the killer on this one. What is the killer?
It's always lasted.
I got to tell you something. I think I mentioned it in the last time we were together as a group, that the worst possible bet you can make on a racetrack is a horse that's trained in the field and always sprints. That is the worst. There's just nothing worse than that. Look at this. I just drew a line that I want you to draw with me. Take a name, Finn. Forget the fact that he's trained by Don Luby, who's a really good trainer. It's written by Chris McCarron, who's a fair writer, anyway. Now I want you to do something. I want you to circle the stretch call in these last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 races. Just circle the stretch call. The one time he was fairly close was the 8th race back, I believe. And what happened after he got fairly close in that race? He hung. He flattened out. So where is he going to be at the stretch call based on probability?
9, 10 lengths back.
Yeah, 8 or 9 lengths back, right? Is that the kind of horse you want to be betting?
No, I just think.
I didn't direct that at you. I just looked at this side of the room. It's a little sensitive, aren't you?
No, I don't think he can win the race. But I think he should go into the field.
Define contender.
A horse that has a chance to win the race.
Okay. Now, you just said you don't think he can win the race.
Well, I personally don't think the pace is going to break down that much. But you never know.
Well, so far, there's no pace to break down except.
Well, true.
All right. You want to add him, then be my guest, okay? Urbana Cowboy is the kind of horse that, you could put him in a second hole just because he will come running late. But it's just, if he wins, if there are 100 things to influence a race, 99 will have to go in his favor for him to win this race. I mean, that's the kind of bet you're making on that horse.
I don't like to put him in my contender because he can wind up with a